Hi, and welcome to Common Denominator, straight-up conversations with me, Moshe Popak. Each week, I chat with pioneers, innovators, and truly inspirational people to learn the steps they take to turn their ideas into reality. My goal is to empower you to dive in, be bold, and take profound steps toward realizing your own potential. Join me this week is Mike Shorman, aka the Unbalanced Paddleboarder. Mike was a paddleboarding coach until a neurological condition left him with a collapsed face, vertigo, and an inability to walk properly. But through perseverance, he's overcome those obstacles and will soon paddleboard from the US to Canada to raise money for a youth mental health organization. His inspirational story next.
This is Common Denominator, straight up conversations with Moshe Popak. Now, here's Moshe.
Hi, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Moshe. Thanks for having me.
So take us back a few years ago. You're living your dream, paddleboard instructor, and you wake up with excruciating pain.
I built a life for myself as a paddleboarding coach. I never thought I'd go into the sport of stand-up paddleboarding. I fell into it, you know, by accident, and then just fell in love with it. And I built this business of teaching people and coaching. And I taught in Toronto, right in front of the Toronto skyline, which is beautiful. And I was in the process of expanding and moving it out to California. And then I got very sick. So what happened was my chickenpox virus from when I was a kid reactivated and it attacked my ear. So it affected my vestibular system, my equilibrium, and the nerves shattered in my face. My face was really sunken in. And it caused a lot of problems, vertigo, dizziness. Even now when I turn my head from side to side, even after, you know, lots of physiotherapy, I still get very dizzy. And speech, vision, hearing impairments, and most devastating, I lost my mobility. So I went from being, you know, athletic and fit to not being able to walk.
That thought that probably you're not going to be able to paddleboard again really must have devastated you.
You know, it was an excruciating pain for a long time. You know, I remember just being focused on not wanting to be in physical pain. So when they were saying things like, we're sending you for an MRI to rule out brain damage, I was just focused on the pain just stopping. It wasn't really hitting me the severity of what was happening. But I remember, you know, when I went for the MRI, I broke down to my dad and I said, it's all gone. What I built, it's done. Like this is over. And that was in November. And then the following April, I sat down with specialists and they said, your paddleboarding's done. It's going to make you really sick. Being on the water is not going to be good for you. It's not good for people with this condition. Even looking at water is hard for most. And it would affect other things too, like flying and being in car rides for a long time. That would also make me sick. So it was incredibly defeating. And I think, you know, it took a huge mental toll. That was at the beginning of April, and two days later, I entered a crisis center. Like I went for mental health treatment. It was a big breakdown.
Would you say that was kind of like your rock bottom moment at that point?
So my rock bottom moment was overdosing, and looking for a way out, and then telling my parents while I was strung out and wild, that I didn't want to live anymore. It got really dark, really. 6 months of looking in a mirror and not recognizing yourself anymore. You know, my identity was shattered, not just with loss of myself as a business owner, but loss of who was looking back, like who was looking at me. I felt like I was looking at a monster in the mirror. The doctor said, hold on, we're not going to do a face surgery until the 2-year mark because nerves can regenerate, but they regenerate at a very, very slow rate. And my eye was bulging out of my face and my face was sunken and it looked like I'd had a stroke. And I, you know, I'd look into the mirror and think who could ever live this?
That's the hardest thing, by the way. I remember, I think it was Brené Brown. She says, she talks about shame and, he's like, it's the feeling that you don't, have the right to have love and connection. And yeah. I see it so much and it's so needed that everybody needs to feel, because you could spiral and your mental health can really spiral if you don't, if you have that shame and you don't have the knowledge that you do have a right to feel love and connection.
I think, you know, by the time that it did come for me to make the decision, okay, do I want to go ahead and have the surgery or do I want to live with the scars? There'd been so much self-love and compassion that had been built through, you know, making that first right step, which was mental health treatment. And then learning to love myself again.
Right.
That paved the way to me saying, I don't want a surgery. I already feel whole. I don't, you know, I'm good with having a crooked smile and an eye that can't quite close. We're past that now. But it took a long time to get there. And, you know, there's so many sayings about going through storms and coming out the other side, being a completely different person. And I think that, you know, when we weather the storm, when we go through it, it makes us stronger and it makes us, more resilient and tougher.
I think the message, which is the most important, that the actual recipe is the storm. In other words, if in this world you want to have success, not ordinary, you know in your soul that you want to be extraordinary, part of that recipe is you will, not once, but many times, have to go through storms. The storm is inside of you. And if you can conquer that, if you're on your mission and you can conquer that, then that's great. I know also, which is an amazing story about Speaker Slam, right? The public speaking competition, which is super cool. So tell us a little bit about that.
So a friend of mine said, I have this thing that I think that you'd be really good at. I'm going to send you the info. And I was like, okay, great. And I was using a cane to walk and I had an eye patch to protect wind from my eye because we were worried that I was going to lose my vision. And I was in a still a very vulnerable state and I got this thing, this email, and it was for Speaker Slam, which is North America's largest inspirational speech competition. And I just kind of filled it out and sent it in. And I didn't really think anything about it. And then I heard from them and they said, we want you to come and compete. You'll be competing against 9 other speakers. And these are corporate speakers. These are TEDx speakers. And you'll be speaking on the story idea of getting back on the paddleboard after everything that you've been through. And then it just hit me. I was like, oh my God, like I'm competing against all these amazing people and I'm Googling and I'm researching and I'm like, these people have gone viral and have had millions of views. But I quickly realized that, you know, I could do tough things. And I reminded myself that I had an advantage here. All my competitors were out doing corporate talks and were out, you know, doing conferences, and I had time on my side. All I had to do was rest and rehabilitate and work on this and pound out a 6-minute speech. So I wrote a speech about the journey and with the message of not giving up and fighting. And yeah, so I gave it in August 2019. I was hoping to inspire, you know, maybe 3 people in a room of 300, and I won.
Wow.
So it was crazy, you know, like winning wasn't the big thing. The big thing was giving that talk and then seeing what it did and how it affected other people. The talk quickly went viral on several platforms. Jay Shetty shared it. Ashton Kutcher's platform shared it. Power of Positivity put it up for over 37 million subscribers. And it just went viral and got millions of views. And what it essentially did was it connected me with people all around the world who were struggling with not my condition, but just struggling, and connected me with them. And it also opened doors to new careers and new avenues that I hadn't considered before. Wow. It allowed me to publish a book, to have my book published. It opened the door to corporate speaking. Wow. And it put me in touch with international companies that I had never thought of approaching before. And it's put me on a completely new trajectory, which is exciting.
Yeah, it definitely is. What would you say is your favorite part about and most rewarding about being an inspirational speaker?
I think the most rewarding part is when you see change being implemented because of something that you did or something that you said. So whether that is in an organization or a company that hires you to speak at a conference or one of their events, or even if it's just a person in a crowd who says that your words impacted them and they want to make changes as a result of that.
I love to tell the audience, let's fast forward a little bit, right? Coming up next month, August 22nd to 24. Maybe you want to tell us a little bit about what that's going to look like.
So I'm attempting to become the first person with a disability to cross international waters from one country to another by paddleboard. You know, I'm launching from Rochester, New York on Sunday, August 22nd, and we will be, fingers crossed with weather, arriving Tuesday, August 24th in Toronto, Canada. So I'm doing it for Canada's number one youth mental health organization. I started working with them, you know, several years ago, and I'm really excited. We've raised a lot of money so far and a lot of awareness. And on the first day, I have an event called Paddle Across America. And I partnered with fashion designer Kenneth Coles, the Mental Health Coalition. What he has done is amazing. He's brought in, you know, celebrities to show out from the rooftop how important mental health is. And it's a coalition of the top mental health organizations across the United States.
That is super cool, by the way. I'm thinking about mentally, the training regime, right? Mentally, spiritually, physically. Yeah. So what does that look like?
So the planning started, you know, last September, right? This has been going on for a long time. My training, my physical training is difficult because when I turn my head from side to side, I get really dizzy. So, you know, I was paddleboarding through the winter. You know, it's really cold out here in Toronto. But what I did was I dressed like I was going skiing. and I put on a dry suit, and I was out there in February in minus 30 weather. I was out on the lake. Wow. And building incrementally and doing, you know, walks. You know, I still can't run. The way a person with a disability trains is completely different than, say, how you would train for something like this. But what I can do is I can do weights. I can do kettlebells. I can do long walks. I can do paddleboarding. And I won't be able to do all my standing up out there. But what I will be able to do is stand up, you know, go hard for 15, 20 minutes. And then I can come down on my knees, take a break, continue until I stabilize. And then I can get back up and I can keep going.
Wow. It's tremendous. I love what you said also before about the word yes. I always say that the word yes conquering the no. Because when you're going to be out there, it's going to be, you know, after a couple hours, right? It's going to be that conversation and that mental toughness and training.
They say there's a basin right outside of Rochester, and it's like a whirlpool. Getting out of Rochester itself is going to be the most challenging part about this. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly windy. It's like the ocean, and it can draw you in very easily. So the first 5 miles is going to be the hardest, and I know that going into this. So I just know that on that day, if I can get past the first 5 miles, and I can, then I can go the rest of the way. And that's how I'm looking at it. I'm not going into that first day on the 22nd thinking about the 24th. I'm going into the first day on the 22nd thinking about what it's going to look like, what it's going to look like at the end of the day on the 22nd. And then on the 23rd, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to think about what it's going to look like at the end of the day on the 23rd. And right. then on the 24th. And I'm going to break it down. You can't just think about, you know, the finished product and how you want everything to look. We need to break this down and kind of, you know, look at it like a business person would with like a work back schedule. Like you plan things and then you work your way back.
Wow. That's tremendous. Is there any way that people can donate or help in any way?
Of course. So Canadians who are listening can jump on and support this by making a pledge or sharing. It's www.jack.org/thecrossing. And with the fundraiser for Kenneth Cole's Mental Health Coalition, you can find it on Facebook and on Instagram. You can also follow Kenneth Cole's The Mental Health Coalition on Instagram, and they will be running it. They will be running live stream through their accounts on August 22nd.
I want to say thank you so much, Mike. Your story is truly inspirational. We want to wish you the best of luck. I'm sure you're going to do great. We're going to be rooting for you. And and how can we learn more just about you?
You can find me on social media. I'm pretty active. I'm on Instagram at the Unbalanced Paddleboarder, Mike Shoreman. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on, you know, all the social medias. And I love connecting with people. So I look forward to anybody who reaches out and anybody who contacts me.
Well, thank you so much, Mike. It's really inspirational and really a beautiful story. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me, Moshe.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of Common Denominator. Join me next week when my guest will be Ilan Barinholtz, the Associate Director of the Center for the Future Mind at Florida Atlantic University. There, he joins prominent thinkers to tackle important questions about the future of both human and artificial intelligence. Ilan will share his thoughts on the exciting developments in AI and how we can improve our capacity for knowledge. Until then, have a great week, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks for listening to the Common Denominator podcast. Join us next week for another inspiring, impactful, and empowering conversation. To learn more about Moshe, head to moshepopak.com. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to share it. And we'd be grateful if you could rate, review, and subscribe to the show.